What's the one thing all great teams have in common?
Great coaching.
Try to suck up to me, Avery.
Hey! Goldberg! I bet if that talk was a cheeseburger, you stop it!
No, I agree. I would not be an acid physically. I have more of a podcast body.
Quack! 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 Quack!
It's the Quack Attack Podcast.
Hey, everybody. I heard you were a farmer. I'm Mike. Tommy, that's Tommy.
Hold Hi, on, Mike.
My dogs are barking. Let me redo that.
No, we're not redoing it at all. We're just going to keep going. So Mike is now going after his dogs. And yeah, Mike, we're not redoing it. We're just
what?
Gonna, yeah, we're Why just not? Continuing on.
Oh.
This is a one-take show. Everyone knows that.
I want to redo it, though.
Well, you know, too bad.
What if I keep the first part in and then I just redo it?
What do you mean keep the first part in?
Like I we keep it in the episode, but then I just, you know, start over and go.
Oh, so you
know.
Like we keep all of this and then you start over as if nothing ever happened.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. Okay. Let's reset here. All right. 3, 2, 1. Hey, everybody. I heard you were a farmer. I'm Mike. That's Tommy.
Hello, everyone, for the first
Kevin
time.
Kevin is not Kevin is not here, but welcome to the Quack Attack Podcast, the definitive Mighty Ducks podcast. We are back. I am on top of my game, as you can tell from that intro that I definitely did not have to redo. And we have a lot to talk about, even though Kevin's not here. He's a busy guy. I don't know exactly what he's busy with, but I hope it's something worthwhile.
Well, I know he's got a big party coming up this weekend that I'm looking forward to. So we'll make sure to, for the next episode, give a full breakdown of what we did at the party, what kind of shenanigans were had. And I'm hoping I get to go there and not just be on dad duty the whole time. Parties now with my baby aren't as fun as you can imagine.
That's true. I can relate. But as I mentioned, a lot to talk about. We've not done a quack question in a long time, so I want to do a grab bag of quack questions because we've got a few good ones in here. But before we do that, I want to talk about Once Upon a Time in Anaheim, E60 documentary. Tommy, you have not seen it yet.
That is correct. I honestly just kind of slipped my mind these last few days.
That is okay. But I did. I would highly recommend it. It was good. The first like 15 minutes are literally about the movies. There's some good tidbits in there. There's some behind the scenes stuff that I had not seen before, just like the kids playing around on the ice and stuff like that. You had interviews with Steve Brill, a couple of the actors, Jordan Kerner, the producer, Michael Eisner, and my favorite moment, I will say, was Mike Modano, who has some real regret about how he flubbed his lines and had to be demoted to North Star number 2. So I thought that was a great moment. You could tell he was really feeling embarrassed about how he could not get it together. So they had to reduce his lines. And
I think he used that as motivation for the rest of his career. And that's how he was able to hoist that Stanley Cup.
There you go. Yeah. So Mighty Ducks movie is leading to another Stanley Cup, I should say, because he had the franchise win it later on. But yeah, good stuff. I enjoyed it. If you're a Mighty Ducks fan and you're listening to this podcast, I think you would enjoy it, at least the beginning. And then you get into, you know, the franchise and stuff like that, and it's just fun to hear the story. So there you go. We may or may not have more on that next week. We'll see what happens. But speaking of Mike Modano, let's move on to our first quack question. This comes via the Discord, and it's from Kyle_Borg, and he says, did some film work today. When Mike Modano shares he heard Bombay was a farmer, I was curious how that would have changed the storyline of the Ducks. Ducks versus recast as corporate big farm? Frank Huddy becomes a farming neighbor? In the Ducks multiverse, how does Mighty Ducks play out differently if Bombay was a farmer before coaching the team?
Well, so this is exactly the kind of thing we're here for. So I think, first off, when you think farming, you don't stereotypically think about Minnesota because you think about how cold it is. However, Minnesota, according to the Minnesota Historical Society, their largest agricultural commodities are corn, soybeans, hogs, cattle, and dairy. And so I envision Gordon being a dairy farmer.
I agree.
Yeah. And, you know, it's something where he would be like, have his cows, like he's like rounding them up or whatever. He like shoots like a can like at the gate to close it or something like that, kind of relishing his old hockey days. But I think the question is, does he like get a DUI?
If you're on like a huge farm and it's your land, it's tough to get a DUI. So I don't know if we have to like come up with some storyline to get him into the city and then he gets the DUI.
Well, maybe he was like bringing his prized cattle to like a show or something like that. And he gets pulled over with them in the trailer and he's like, you're endangering livestock. Cause he like just won the big show and he's like, I just won my 30th show. I remain undefeated. I was like, well, what about, you know, that FFA one, you know, 6 years ago? Like, well, that doesn't count. Cause you know, I nailed the farming reporter or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I like that. He's not, you know, the super cocky person, but I might be wrong.
You know, it's like, you know, he's kind of like the slick black hair, like the limo and everything. So is he kind of like a country bumpkin, which is very stereotypical of us, but maybe he's like into like, you know, big corporate farming. Like maybe he's kind of like, he sells like John Deere tractors and he kind of swindles farmers.
Yeah. So yeah. He's got something going. I like that. He's got something going on the side where he's not just, the you know, good old friendly farmer selling his stuff at the farmer's market. So yeah, he's got like sort of an empire going. And then yeah, you could have the cockiness. I don't know, A, I guess how Frank Cuddy plays into this. And then B, it's always kind of assumed on my part, at least, that, you know, Bombay's such a good lawyer. He sort of gets out of it and gets this like light sense of community service for a DUI. So we'd have to, you know, figure out Frank, is Frank like his apprentice or like a worker on the farm?
And maybe it just kind of changes the whole scope and it's like, you know, it's all about the farming community and he gets in trouble for doing something farming related and then he's got to coach like the pond farm games or maybe not even hockey. Maybe he's got to coach some like mutton bust. Anyone knows what that is, like 4-year-olds running around on sheep. Yes. And it's pretty funny to watch. They're wearing helmets, thank God, because otherwise there'd be a lot of concussed children.
Yeah.
I think it also begs the question of why did Mike McDonald think he became a farmer?
That's a great point.
Was it a dig? Like, was he making fun of him?
Yeah.
Is there like a farming term with hockey I'm not familiar with?
I'm trying to think of the context, but like it was just bad. Like this guy ruled in Pee Wee from Basil McRae and stuff like that. And then, oh yeah, I heard you were a farmer. Like, why? Who was telling Mike Madonna that this guy Bombay, who he doesn't even really know, is a farmer? It's a mystery about. I guess the legend of Bombay is so great that he's just this legend in, I guess, Minnesota and Canadian circles. This legendary peewee kid. And then it's like, oh, why didn't he make the NHL? What happened to him? And then it somehow the story morphed into, instead of a lawyer, he was a farmer.
Yeah, and like, if he's a farmer, like, is it because he did not go to Eden Hall? Or is it because, you know, and then, of course, that changes the whole direction of the Ducks. But maybe it is he's come some kind of like slimy corporate farmer kind of thing. I don't know if there are corporate farmers out there. I'm thinking of the stereotypical, you know, hardworking overalls, you know, waking up at 4 a.m, you know, kind of thing. And so maybe Bombay was like revolutionizing farming. But then at the other time, you do have like, you know, these, you know, disgusting farms where you have got like chickens just like stacked on themselves and, you know, just force fed so they can then be slaughtered. So maybe he was doing that kind of farming, or maybe he was like data farming.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if the 90s, like that was a big enough thing, but that would be a nice little twist and a weird way for Mike Madonna to bring up, like, oh, I heard you're a farmer. Yeah. I've been to a Tyson chicken farm and it is not a great experience. So,
you went to a Tyson chicken farm when?
Yeah, my mother-in-law's like friend from high school ran it, or continues to run it, in the deep woods of Arkansas. Yeah, it was an experience for sure. There's just like rows and rows of these chickens, and yeah, it was not like, oh, that's cool. It was just kind of like, all right, I feel kind of bad. I don't want to know this much. So anyway, back to farming. I think Bombay is an empire of sorts in the farming world. And he does, yeah, I like the community aspect of like the farmers. Like he does something to upset the farmers, and then he has to do this thing to like repay his debt to the farmers. So I like that. It's not even like a legal thing. Yeah, the setting, I guess, would become a little more rural. I don't think we're getting like inner city kids from Minnesota.
Yeah, I think you're getting like he catches some kids who are like trying to steal his crops or like tip his cows.
Right.
And he makes them play on the team or something like that.
Yeah, they're you know, bored, or like they're in a one room schoolhouse, and you know, the team is gonna fold because they don't have a coach. So you didn't die of a heart attack, they just like don't have a coach. And he teaches these kids how to play hockey for the, you know, to give them something to do. And then, you know, they go on and they go to the state championship or whatever. A little bit of, I guess a little Hoosiers-y, where it's like the small town against the big metropolis inner city team. So I think that's how it changes. Anything else? I guess Frank Cuddy is just part of the community. Is just his farmer friend.
And like a rival, just because like they're rivals in the court. So he'd be a rival farmer. Mm,
okay. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it. Anything else on the farming? This was good. We got deep here. I think we could, this could be like, you know how Marvel did like the What If cartoons on Disney Plus? This could be an episode here. So
what if Bombay actually became a farmer?
Yeah, exactly. So there we go. But anything else we need to discuss on Bombay before a farmer before we move on to the next question?
Absolutely not.
Okay, let's move on to our second correct question of the day. This comes from JBeasley777. This got some good discussion in the Discord. I think people will have a lot of opinions on this. You get to save 5 episodes of Game Changers, Jared says. Which ones do you keep on Disney Plus? So Tommy and I both came up with our lists. I have 4 season 1 episodes, and actually 1 season 2 episode. How many do you have? What's your breakdown?
It's also 4 and 1.
Okay. Do you have, my first one is episode 1. Do you have,
yes,
episode 1?
Okay. I have episode 1. First of all, it's a good episode. Second of all, like not even thinking about how like, oh, if you started an episode 3, how the hell are you supposed to understand what's going on? Thinking about like, what are the best episodes?
Right.
And so these are the ones you keep that you would rewatch, not like show to someone for the first time. And so 1 is definitely on there for me.
Yeah, and just like the whole factor of it being back in Bombay, comes out of the fog. I think you have to have episode 1. Mm-hmm. My second episode, Spirit of the Ducks, episode 6. Do you have any before episode 6?
You know, I was trying to think, and we don't have access to the episodes anymore. So some of them are like episode 2 is pretty good, honestly, called Dusters, which is essentially like Bombay gets Alex to, I think they kind of get on board there. And Bombay starts to kind of like, hey, yeah, I will kind of coach these guys, whatever, or kind of be more involved. But no, I think Spirit of the Ducks, because again, I'm only picking 4 in the first season. I think Spirit of the Ducks is the one I'm going for the second one. And I think Spirit of the Ducks is going to be unanimous between like across the board for anyone who's watched this show.
Right. That's probably the top episode. Yeah. I had episode 6 as my second one. The episode 2 is a good one because the ending for me, that's like maybe one of the top 5, maybe top 3 moments of Mighty Ducks Game Changers for me. It was like when Evan was like, it's not fun to get your ass kicked. And then they all came out onto the ice and Bombay sees them. Like that was a great moment. But in total of the episode, I think you got to leave it off. My next episode. Well, let's go to probably the most common episode, episode 10. Do you have the finale of season 1 in there?
Yes, I do have the finale of season 1 in there. I think it's, again, it puts a nice bow on it, but you also get like the, you know, them finally playing the Ducks or whatever. And so I definitely have 10 on there.
All right. So those are the 3 I think everyone's going to have on there. And then we go to the interesting one. So my fourth episode is actually episode 8 of season 1, entitled Change on the Fly. This was really the Logan and Bombay episode. He learns, he gets better. He's got the like, conflict with Nick because Nick, you know, wants to hold this over him that he scored a goal and Logan didn't. Logan, you know, there's that whole deal. And then he scores at the end when they trick Alex, and Alex is still being like, win at all costs. They trick Alex and Logan scores on the pancake shot. So that is my episode 8. What is your final episode of season 1 that you're keeping?
I'm going to go episode 9 because I kind of like, you get a lot of Coach T in that episode. And I think we all predicted that, oh, he's just like, he's messing with Bombay, whatever. But you get to see him like drinking a beer and all that, like in his element. So I liked episode 9, even though some of like the last couple episodes when they're like, some of it's a little bit weird, you know, and you get the whole like ineligibility or whatever. But I still liked it a lot, and it does like just like set up episode 10 very well. So I'm keeping 9 and 10 basically kind of as a combo. So yeah, 1, 6, 9, 10 is what I'm keeping from season 1.
Yes. I thought about episode 9. I just wasn't like the biggest fan of the whole dance thing. So I was like,
but I wasn't the biggest fan, but I do remember like, you know, like a Nick in it being, you know, fun or whatever. So like, and I wanted to get some good Nick in there. And also, was that the Cheerios episode?
Yes, that is the Cheerios episode where,
got to get that in there.
That was the only, I did consider 9. That was probably my number 6, just because of the Coach D and Bombay aspect and, you know, how like, all kinds of flips. But yeah, the dance thing pushed it out for me. And then we go to our final episodes to save. And I'm going all the way to the end, episode 20, just the wrap up. It did, as I mentioned at the time, it did hit me in the feels, you know, with what was his name? Jace. I was going to say Naveen Paddock. Jace and Colin Cole, you know, working their things out, even if it was rushed, and then sort of wrapping up the whole deal with Evan getting the interest from the D3 school and all that kind of stuff. It was rushed, and you know, there are criticisms of it, but I am keeping it because it did hit me emotionally. So I'm keeping that one. Tommy, what is your final episode?
I think that's a good one. I'm actually going with episode 6, Twigs. And if you guys remember, if you go back, listen to them as we were watching them in real time with everyone, this was right before Spirit of the Ducks Part 2. So we're like, oh, it ends so well. It's like, we're going to get something in the next episode. It's all building up to this moment. And so I remember being like really excited. And also you get some like some good stuff from Jace at the end. He's like, hey, I'm fucking pissed now. Like, we're going to go and we're going to win, you know? And so like, yes, he's coming into his own. So I'm going to take Twigs, like the whole them playing with offhands, them tying 2-2. It's like, you know, it is what it is, you know, but I did appreciate, you know, some of that stuff. And again, it kind of hits the whole like, hey, we're at a hockey camp, let's play hockey and let's play to win kind of thing. So I'm keeping Twigs from season 2, although episode 9, the Summer Breezers, is also good. But again, season 2, we know, like, are we going to remember it fondly? I don't know. But I think Twigs is probably, is it my favorite episode from season 2? Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say the locker room scene at the end, I think, is a great one. I think that's a top moment from season 2. So I can see where it comes from for sure. Yeah, the offhand thing, as you mentioned, kind of meh. But you're going to have some flaws when you get deep into the selections here. So I am curious to see what Kevin would pick for this. We're going to have to ask him. He might go all season 1. But we're going to have to ask him.
Yeah, I think he goes 1-10, Spirit of the Ducks. Mm-hmm. And it'll be interesting to see the other two that he picks. You know, maybe if there are any good like Coach T moments. And that's another reason why, again, I liked 9. And then I guess also for Mike picking episode 9 of season 2, where you get Coach T there in that last, like the last reveal. That was like a fun ending.
Yeah, that's why I did. That is part of what swayed me to the last episode is, you know, Coach T was back. He has his little monologue about what the loss did to him and how he had to go to Canada and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, having Coach T back definitely pushes the selection for me for episode 20, I guess, or episode 10 of season 2. I don't know if we're overlooking Spirit of the Ducks Part 2. As we mentioned, I think we had built it up in our mind as, you know, the Ducks are coming back, and that is sort of play, as we mentioned at the time as well. It was a good episode if we didn't have those expectations going in, but it's tough to remove that expectation from it versus just taking the episode at face value if you're doing it. But I guess as you mentioned, if you're looking at going back to rewatch these, you probably wouldn't go back to that just about the feelings that you had.
Yeah, I think it was just too much of a disappointment. But if you watch it like in a vacuum, and I think I had said that too, like at the time, like in a vacuum, it was a good episode, but we were just so disappointed. So it's okay. I'll still allow it.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. We have time. We have time for one more. Let's take a short break and then we'll come back with our final quack question. We are back. We have one more quack question in this grab bag of quack questions. This one comes via Twitter from @SoHeyI'mJay. He says, McGill follows Coach's orders to hurt Banks and is labeled a villain. Portman defies Bombay, intentionally hurts others, and hurts the team by penalties, yet he gets cheered. Should Portman be revered for doing what we boo McGill for? And it's an interesting question. I have some thoughts. Do you want me to go first?
Yes, even though Portman was literally thrown out of game for, quote, intent to injure.
Right.
You know, McGill's trying to, like, end this kid's career, Banks. And he has no second thoughts whatsoever when, you know, Coach Riley tells him, like, take him out of this game, while Larson's like, what are you doing? And so I would say it's an apples and oranges thing. Like, if you're just told two scenarios, then you'd be like, oh, yeah, you know, they should both be, you know, treated like, you know, poor sports, essentially. But I think it's different. And, you know, remember, the Iceland guys, they're bigger and they're stronger. They have more body hair. And so they're like adults.
Yeah, I think it's also applied. Like, McGill, it wasn't necessarily like a true cheap shot, but it was like kind of a dirty play where I think Portman was being physical, and I don't think he was intentionally trying to injure him, which I think is the biggest difference. I also do think it is a matter of perspective with Portman. I think he, you know, when he's on your side, it's great. And, you know, you cheer Portman. But yeah, I'm sure Iceland fans hate Portman and like think he's a dirty player and hate him. So I do think, since we, assuming, are on the Ducks side, we are a little more favorable to him and a little more against McGill. But I think McGill is sort of unquestionably trying to hurt him and dirty. And as you mentioned, Larson showed some consciousness. There was a right and wrong to it, which we saw specifically.
One thing to kind of put in there, and so like speaking of Iceland, and so you remember when Banks scores against Iceland, he's like, yay, we got one. And then is it Sanderson who just boom goes right for the wrist? That's, I guess, the dirtiest play of the entire trilogy, isn't it?
I agree. Yeah.
And Sanderson should be sent packing, like, because they obviously see it because he gets a penalty, right? So he should be sent packing from the tournament.
Yes.
And so that also helps justify Portman's behavior, I think.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. Like, coming back the next game and sort of getting retribution, or coming back later in the game and sort of getting retribution for, you know, what they did to your teammate is a good point. Like, they sort of started it for sure. I think people have taken some issue with Banks celebrating like he did, like pointing at the goal.
That's true. He should have scored and then skated off.
Yeah, but you don't do a two-hander on the kid's wrist. Like, maybe you might check him or like try to grab the jersey and, you know, do, you know, a little tussling. But yeah, the two-hander on the
wrist. Even then, you're up, what, 11-1? 11? It's like, you don't need to, you just like laugh at them. It's like, look at the scoreboard, idiot.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a good point.
If it was the other way, if Iceland guys were celebrating like that after they scored, the Ducks would, I think, have more free range, just like shove them, like not like,
yeah, you know,
hit them with fucking their stick winding up like that. So I don't know. There's a, we'll have to get like a hockey referee one of these days to like say like, hey, what should happen in this youth tournament to the Iceland kid who did that?
That's a good idea. We can get a ref on here for sure. All right. Yeah. So I think the overall summary is McGill was intentionally trying to take a player out of the game, where Portman was just trying to be like, I don't think his motivation was 100% to intentionally take players out of the game other than just, you know, be a physical presence. Does he hurt the team by penalties? Yes. But he also, he gets punished for what he does, where, you know, maybe McGill, you know, does McGill even get thrown? He gets a penalty. He doesn't even get really thrown out the game.
Yeah, it's a penalty. I'm not sure if he's thrown out of the game.
So, yeah, and Portman, as you mentioned, was getting retribution for what they did to a player in a previous game, which we see that a lot, you know. I grew up during...
and like, you'd want Portman on your team 10 times out of 10.
Right, yeah. I grew up during the Red Wings and Avalanche, you know, rivalry, and it was always like, oh, this thing happened last game, so now this is what's going to happen this game, and there are fights, you know, 2 seconds after the puck drop and stuff like that. So I think that is more within sort of the hockey unwritten rules than what McGill did. So there you go. We are about at time here. 3 good quack questions. It's always good to get the quack questions in. I feel bad when we go too long without them. So there you go. You know what to do. TheQuackTech.com. Go there. Contact us at QuackTechPod on Twitter. Facebook.com/QuackTechPod. Go to iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen. Give us 5 stars. Write a review. Doesn't really matter what it says. I don't think so, at least when, you know, we try to go up the charts and whatnot. Thanks to all producers. Aaron, still the most recent producer. Executive producer, Aaron. We appreciate you, Aaron. And remember, Ducks fly together.
Ducks fly together. Ain't no turning back. It's got to be